Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino's down there in Studio X. He is guiding our craft here to a complete and total stop in about 53 minutes. Thank you guys for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. If you really want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. In sports and business, having the right team behind you matters. Partner with C Spire today for business solutions from dedicated, certified IT engineers. Learn more at cspire.com. C Spire, inspired by you. It's not easy being a Mississippi State guy. It's just not, you know. I want to start by saying this. I still believe these things are cyclical. Ole Miss is having some great days right now. Mississippi State is not. There's just no getting around that fact. As good as basketball was at Mississippi State and good as women's basketball was, it was better at Ole Miss. They both made the Sweet 16. State did not. Simple as that. Football, I think we all know what happened there. Baseball, it's not, you know, Ole Miss is top 10. Mississippi State is not. But I still buy into things being cyclical. So I believe things will turn back around. I don't know what's going to happen at Ole Miss, but I do believe that at Mississippi State things are going to turn around. That football will be back in bowl games before we know it. That basketball will continue to build and start winning tournament games. And that baseball is going to figure it out one way or the other. We'll talk about that later. But today's a tough day because, once again, Mississippi State losing losing a player to the transfer portal that they would desperately like to keep, and Keyshawn Murphy. And for me, and again, maybe I'm so close to the situation here in Starkville, it just feels like this is something that happens to Mississippi State more than other teams. And I could be wrong about that, but I'm thinking in terms of guys that, not just, you know, oh, he would have been a starter if he would have come back. It's he would have been one of the best players on the team. He would have been a leader. He would have been a player that State wants to build around. He's going to leave. And, you know, I talked to some people at Mississippi State, or I talked to some sources, I should say. And, you know, they feel good about Murphy making the decision to come back to Mississippi State. They feel like that's something that's very possibly going to happen. He's still talking to the coaches. He hasn't planned any visits or anything like that. Mississippi State's going to make him a sizable NIL offer. You know, a much bigger one than he had a season ago. But it's just painful. And the thing that Robbie Falk and I talked about, and which you'll hear on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, is it feels like bad news just comes quickly for Mississippi State. And then when there's good news, it's never just immediate. It's never just, you know, hey, this guy out of nowhere committed to Mississippi State. Or, you know, State just made a game easy from start to finish. It's always, you know, especially now in the portal, you know, Murphy goes in with nobody knowing he's going to go in. And so you got to have to suffer through that. So that was quick. State is looking at a certain player, and it's like a week of, well, he, you know, they feel good about it, and then he may visit here, and they're going to have to survive that. And it's never just he commits. So it's been some tough times. And, you know, I don't mean to take away from the success that the soccer team had this year and that the softball team is currently having. They're having great seasons. But football, basketball, baseball is what really makes the world go round. And it's just tough right now. Somebody says, football is going to say, hold my beer, baseball. We'll see. We'll see about that, you know. I'm not giving up on them just yet. Let me watch a game. Let me get through for one game against Southern Mississippi before I got to make a bold prediction on where that team is going. As I said a moment ago with Murphy, Mississippi State people feel like they have some confidence that he will return. When it comes to Josh Hubbard, there's a lot of confidence. He'll be back at Mississippi State. There's not a lot of worry about that. And if you have Murphy and you have Hubbard, you've got a great nucleus to build your team around. You go out, you get another big man. You go out and you get a winger who can shoot the three. You go out and you get a point guard who can distribute and be a scorer. And you got the makings of a great lineup. It's just that Mississippi State fans could use some good news. You know, they really could right now, and it's been a tough go of it. Honestly, since Mike Leach passed away, you know, there's been some high moments in there. Don't get me wrong. There have been some good moments, but they're fleeting, it feels like. Whereas with some of the bad stuff that happens, it seems to pile up over days and weeks at a time. You know, you look at this past basketball season, and I think we would all agree that team underachieved. And they were better than what they ended up being. The women's basketball team, I don't know necessarily if they underachieved, but they definitely lost some games they should have won. Football was a very tough season. You know, one of the toughest Mississippi State fans had suffered through in some time. You know, even Leach's first year, you were able to write it off as, well, they're making this huge switch in what they're doing offensively, and they'll get it figured out. Leach has always been a winner. You know, with Lebby, I love what Lebby does offensively. I think he'll be fine there, but at the same time, I don't have the track record to back him up the same way I did with Leach. So, you know, you go through a 2-10 season, it's fair to look around and go, are they going to be okay? Are they going to get this figured out? So I don't know. Do I think Murphy will be back? I mean, it feels like I'm 60-40, yes, that he'll be back. But 40 is a big number. You know, you know, he did it last year. He jumped in the portal, and then he came back, said all the right things, did all the right things this offseason, improved himself to the point where he deserves a big NIL deal. The difference is, I don't think he necessarily had to go in the portal to get it. He would have just gotten it anyway. But maybe he wants to take a feeler and see if somebody's willing to make a bigger deal in Mississippi State. I don't know that that would be the case, unless somebody is just willing. State's going to make the best fair offer. Does that make sense? That they'll make an offer that's like, okay, that offer makes sense, and it's a really good offer. Somebody might want to make an offer that's, you know, more than is deserved, just to try to secure his services. And I think he's a great player, and I think he's going to have a fantastic year. I mean, this is a guy who in limited minutes averaged 11-8 this year. He could easily jump that up with another 5-6 minutes a game. And turn that into a 15-10, 15-11 kind of guy. That's worth paying for. You know, you could be one of the top inside threats in the SEC with those kind of numbers. So that's tough. I mean, right now when you look at State's roster, they have the transfer from UAB who just committed this past weekend, Jabari McGee. You have Sean Jones. You have your freshman coming in, King Grace and Javion Davis Fleming and T. Bartlett, and there's another guy in there whose name I'm forgetting. Another guard, Cameron Paul. I think that's right. So you got those guys coming in, but I mean, what do you have for proven SEC guys? That number is limited right now. And if you don't get Murphy and Hubbard back, well, now we're talking about you've got to replace your entire starting lineup. You got to get 1 through 5 back in the portal. That will be tough to do. So I'm hopeful, for Mississippi State's sake, that Keyshawn Murphy decides at the end of the day that Starkville is the best place for him to be. Chris Jans is the coach that has developed him to this point and turned him into a threat in the SEC, and hopefully with another year he can do the same. You know, Kugel leaving, Nwoko leaving, didn't really, you know, move the needle for me. I was surprised that Nwoko went, but I feel like State could easily replace him. Kugel, I mean, at this point, I feel like the well was kind of poisoned with him. I don't think people wanted him back, Mississippi State fans by and large, unless he was going to make some sort of, you know, massive jump, which I didn't see happening. And that's why, you know, he's at Central Florida now, so it's not like Kansas or Kentucky or North Carolina or somebody saw him and were like, yeah, let's get that guy in. But Murphy was an unexpected and a big loss. State would do really well They could really use Josh Hubbard just announcing, you know what, I'm back. Never mind. I mean, they could use it. They could use just that bit of good news right this second. Will they get it? I don't know the answer to that. Do I think Josh Hubbard and Keyshawn Murphy will start for game one for Mississippi State? Hubbard, yes. Like, close to 100% yes. Murphy is less. So, we'll just have to wait and see. A tough, tough loss for Mississippi State, if that is indeed the case. But if he comes back, it's full speed ahead with him and Hubbard and back to the NCAA tournament and back to where you want to go as a basketball program. We're going to switch gears and talk baseball when we come back. I have a question for you guys. I want to get an answer. You can hit me up on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395, to give me that answer. We'll talk about what that question is when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Come on, let this one run a second. Sports Talk. Nope, that's not right. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. You do one thing for 3 hours, you do another thing. It, you know, I never said I was smart. Never once. Not one time. You can't find any documented evidence that I once said on this radio show or any other that I was a smart person. I defy you to do it. So, Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Glad you guys have joined me here on a Wednesday evening. Let's talk Mississippi State baseball. And I really want to go big picture here with you guys, if I can. And this is the fact of the matter. Mississippi State's path to the postseason does exist, right? Now, it's tough. They have to win 10 games of their final 18 in conference play. And they probably can't afford to lose more than one non-conference game. And even then, they could lose the Governor's Cup game. But that would be about it, right? The rest of their games, the RPI loss would be too much. They're currently 48 in the RPI. They got to win games. But 13 SEC wins with where the conference is right now is probably enough to get them into the NCAA tournament. And I will say that if, you know, they started to start 0-9 and then I guess to go from there being 13-8, it's a pretty good turnaround, right? It's not bad. So we'll see if that's I guess they weren't 0-9, they were 1-8. So 12-8 or 12-9 the rest of the way. But regardless, you know, they obviously played better baseball had they down that stretch. This is the question I have. This is what I want to know an answer to. If State makes the postseason, they will have made the postseason 2 years in a row, but not hosted. They will have gone 4 years without hosting. You know, I'm going to make an assumption that if they have to go on the road, they're probably not going to advance and make a super regional. So that's 4 years without hosting, 4 years without a super regional. First time since 93 through 96 at State had 4 years of no hosting, no super regionals. Quick caveats there. That was when the NCAA only had 8 regional spots, not 16, and when there was no such thing as super regionals. So, kind of a totally different situation. But that's the last time State went 4 years without hosting or going to a super region. Is that enough? Is that enough for Mississippi State baseball? Because, you know, you're going to have some people who say, well, if they make the postseason, no changes are going to be made. Is that enough? Just to make the postseason? To not host? Not be one of the top 16 teams in the country. Not saying to be top 3, top 5, top 10, top 16. To not advance past the first round. Is that enough? I want to know what y'all's answers are on that. And then the place to do it is the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. I don't think it's enough. I've said this before. I said coming into this season, the minimum standard was to host. That was my minimum standard of acceptance for you. That's out the window now. There is no hosting for Mississippi State. Even if they were to, unless they were to somehow, they're 3-9, they would need to go 15-3 the rest of the way in SEC play to get to 18 wins. That's let's just be honest with ourselves. That's not going to happen. So it becomes they're going to make the tournament. Is that enough? Is it enough at Mississippi State to just simply make the tournament as a 2 seed or a 3 seed in somebody else's regional? If you consider State an elite program, hell no, says Bubba in Starkville. I do consider State an elite program. What makes an elite program? This is something that keeps coming up. In my opinion, having a national championship certainly adds to that, but there are, like, USC has more national championships than anybody. They are not an elite program. The fact that it's a recent national championship helps. USC doesn't have a recent one. Their last one was in 1998. It's about your fan support, your NIL dollars, your facilities, your administrative support. If you have those things, you're an elite program. Mississippi State has all three of those things. They have great facilities. They have plenty of cash in the NIL coffers. They have the fan support, and the administration is going to support them because Mississippi State baseball is too important not to. I'm not saying they're going to support it the way John Cohen's administration did, where they kind of gave it priority over certainly men's basketball and maybe even occasionally football. But Zach Selman isn't going to just leave baseball to die on the vine because it's not a big revenue producer. He knows that Mississippi State baseball is important to Mississippi State fans. So is Mississippi State an elite program? Absolutely, it is. Not for me. We're supposed to be hosting, at least, the regionals. No hate at it. It's not enough. State built Duty Noble to host regional baseball in June. Starting 1-9 is unacceptable. But relatively speaking, don't they have a small NIL coffer? Who told you that? Who lied to your face and told you? Please put their name here on the thing. State has plenty of NIL money. They just haven't been successful in recruiting guys. Not because of money. I agree with you, but I still punish myself by listening. Well, yeah. Look, listening to baseball games is supposed to be fun. You know, some of my best memories growing up are sitting by my dad on the couch, radio blaring, not blaring, but playing with Jim Ellis' voice. When Jim Ellis retired, I left him a note talking about that. It's like, you know, I had so many great memories of just listening to the games with my dad. That's what, you know, if you're just listening to baseball on the radio, that's just a fun evening at the house, man. Got the grill working, sitting outside listening to baseball. You're not punishing yourself, I promise. Richard Cross told you that. Well, when did Richard Cross say Mississippi State had low NIL funds for baseball? Because that's not accurate. I hate to tell Richard that. I doubt Richard said that. I'm not too terribly worried about that. So, yes, Mississippi State's NIL is in fine shape for baseball. They just got to get the guys in here who can recruit the guys to get them here. I mean, I keep bringing up that shortstop for Oregon State who picked Oregon State over Mississippi State. State's offer dwarfed Oregon State's offer. Dwarfed it, but he still went to Oregon State. He had 7 RBI last night, in case you're wondering how he's doing. He's hitting the ball pretty well. Could have used him. Jeremy in Columbia makes a point that I have said many, many times. That, you know, that stadium was not built to host big crowds in May and April and March. It was built to host big crowds in May and June. It is a stadium that was built with the intention of having regionals and super regionals there. That's why you spent $60+ million on a baseball stadium. So I just don't know how you look at everything as in total and make the comment, you know, if State makes the playoffs or makes the postseason, makes the regionals, then you just move forward as is. I can't get behind that. Hey, look, if they make a run to the super regionals or, you know, to Omaha, then yeah, you move forward. You don't even blink an eye. Like, all right, they're fine, no problem, moving forward. But if they get knocked out in the, you know, regional final of somebody else's stadium, I just don't know how you look at that and say that's the case. Don't you think calling State an elite program hurts? All right, I'm being trolled here, y'all. I'm going to stop talking to this person. I'm just going to stop. This person is I'm trying to look back at this point to see if I've had issues with this person in the past, but goodness. Come on, man. I'm just done with that. So, our culture is dirtbag players. When we have one, we all cheer for. That's how we play baseball. The problem is that the coach is not a dirtbag coach. Our players represent our coaching staff. That when I look at this team, I do wonder who, like, the Mangum type player. And I'm not talking about just in terms of talent. I'm talking about in terms of willing to get out there and do anything to win the game. You had one last year in Mershon. Bryce Chance has some of that. I think Sullivan has some of that. Reese has some of that, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Just to be clear, I consider them an elite program. It's not enough. It's time for a change, says Bubba in Starkville. I mean, that's becoming more and more the growing sentiment. And, you know, we got to see what happens this weekend. If they go over to Alabama and find a way to win that series, they're kind of back on track. But if they lose the series, they're in trouble. And if they get swept, then it's probably over. Just do the math. Just do the math in that if State were to get swept this weekend, they would be 3-12. To get to 13-17, you got to go 10-5 the rest of the way. You know, you got to play Auburn, who's the top 10 team. You got to play Ole Miss, who's a top 10 team. You're going to have to play a desperate Florida team. I don't know the answer. I don't think that happens. So State needs to find a way to win at least one this weekend. If they can win two, great. Fantastic. Win that series on the road. You really are kind of back in the game in terms of getting to the postseason. So we'll know a lot more, I guess, on Monday morning. It feels like I'm every week I'm saying something like that. I'm saying, you know, hey, we got to see what happens on Monday. But we'll see. All right. We'll talk football when we come back. Spring football here at Mississippi State. Only 10 days away from the spring game. Who are we looking forward to seeing in that game? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob.
Today.
And Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Wednesday evening. Rhino's down there in Studio X. We're almost there, my friend. We're almost there. You can join us on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. A lot of you have been, and most of you agree, it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I'm going to be interested to see how it plans out. We've got a long way to go for the end of the season. We don't have a long way to go before Mississippi State's spring game. That's 10 days from today. Mississippi State will play against itself, the maroon and white game. I'm going to give you some names, some players we're going to be looking out for in this game that could do some things. We're going to start at the receiver position. If you remember last year, we talked a lot about Lebby's offense and how every year, without fail, one receiver dominated the stat sheet. When he was at Ole Miss, it was Elijah Moore, and then it was Dontario Drummond. When he was at Oklahoma, it was Marvin Mims, and then it was Drake Stoops. Last year at Mississippi State, it held to form. Kevin Coleman was way ahead of everybody else. So who is that guy from Mississippi State this year? All the indications are you should be looking at Anthony Evans, the transfer from Georgia, that he is the guy that Mississippi State's going to put in that slot receiver position, and he's going to be the guy that, as it happens every year that Lebby is a coordinator or calling the plays, 60 to 80 catches, 800 to 1,000 yards, 5 to 8 touchdowns. Just mark it down in ink. That's the guy that they think will be that guy. Now, I think State has a lot of options there. And I will tell you this, when we've talked with Lebby or when people have asked him about the receivers, man, he gives confident answers. And, you know, and he comes to that from a position of, when you ask him about the offensive line, not so confident. talks about still need to go into the portal and maybe get some more guys in there. But when he talks about his receivers, man, he really likes that group. Between Anthony Evans, Brennan Thompson, Aiden Williams, Marcus Allen, Cam Thompson, Ricky Johnson coming back from last year. He really likes what he's got there. So Evans is the guy. I want to see him in person next Saturday to see what he looks like, because that's the guy I think is going to be the primary focus of the passing game. Defensively is where most of the rest of the guys I want to look at. And the first guy that comes to mind is maybe somebody who may be covering Anthony Evans, and that's Dwight Lewis, the transfer from the NAIA. Mississippi State, you know, Jeff Lebby, if you listen to his comments today, we played him on Sports Talk Mississippi, talked about his cornerbacks and said, I feel good about that position group. And, I mean, I just tell you, just as an outsider, you know, I'm not getting to see the practices, but I'm surprised to hear that, because that was a position that I think we all had kind of circled and been like, I don't know about that group. They didn't really do a lot in the portal. But Dwight Lewis is a guy that you know, athletically, he looks like an SEC football player. So if he can become one, and Kelly Jones can take a step forward, and, you know, you've got some other pieces there, then maybe you got something. Because, like I said, he looks like an SEC cornerback. He's got the athletic ability. He's got the measurables. It's going to be, can he cover SEC wide receivers? If he can do that, that goes a long way for Mississippi State. I like State at the safety position. You know, Tony Mitchell is not your normal JUCO transfer. He's a guy who played at Alabama and you know, was a five-star kid coming out of high school. I think the talent's good there. Jabron Manning was one of the top guys in the transfer portal. State was able to get him out of Old Dominion. And then I think Isaac Smith is kind of like a hybrid at this point. I think he's going to play some linebacker and some safety. I just can't see them removing him completely from the safety position, especially at his size. You know, it's just not built like a linebacker. But that's, you know, Dwight Lewis is the guy I want you to keep an eye on. I want you to keep an eye on Will Whitson, transfer from Coastal Carolina. One of the main things State lacked a season ago, and has really lacked since Cam Young went to the NFL, is that space eater in the middle of your defense, a guy that you could count on to command a double team from time to time, a guy that can blow things up from the middle and collapse the pocket. State hasn't had a guy like that. And so Whitson is a guy coming in from Coastal Carolina that should be able to provide that. Big guy, athletic, had great numbers at Carolina. I know it's a jump from Coastal Carolina to the SEC, but that's true about everything. Everything's a jump. Unless you played in the SEC, everything's a jump. Even if you played in the Big Ten, it's a jump. So Whitson is a guy I want to keep an eye on this upcoming weekend to see how he looks for Mississippi State. We all got spoiled with Jeff Simmons. That's what having an elite defensive tackle gives you. It allows for everybody else to be better because that guy takes up so much attention. So we'll see if Whitson can be. I'm not expecting him to be Jeff Simmons. Can he be Josh Boyd? Can he be Cam Young? Can he be, I'm trying to think, you know, recent defensive tackle, Marquise Spencer, somebody like that. If I can get that out of him, you'll be happy. Malik Silla is another name I want you guys to keep an eye on. Defensive end, edge rusher from Texas A&M. One of State's biggest problems a season ago was the lack of pressure and the lack of sacks. I mentioned it in on Sports Talk Mississippi that Calvin Dinkins had a sack in the first game, in the first half of the first game, and he was one of State's, I think he led State in sacks through 7 weeks. They could not get to the quarterback week in and week out. They need somebody to be able to do that, and Silla from Texas A&M is a guy I think they feel like can be that guy. Maybe Darion Gullett from Texas. So you got a Texas guy and a Texas A&M guy. Can those guys be pressure guys? I believe in Jalen Smith. I like Brandon Jennings. I like Zachary Tillman. I think State... If you told me to rank State's rooms, like what position groups are the best, running back would be my one, because Booth and Bothwell are SEC backs, and so is Daniels. Those guys can go. I like the safeties. I feel like you got real SEC talent there. Linebacker might be third. You got a lot of good options there at the linebacker position. And another guy that's worth talking about is somebody Jeff Levy brought up by name today, and that's Tyler Lockhart, the freshman from Winona. We all remember the signing day drama with that young man. But State could use an explosive athlete that can get after the quarterback. I don't know if Lockhart can be that guy, you know, year one in SEC football, but he certainly has the athletic pedigree to be able to do it. But I don't, you know, there's a difference in, you know, 3A football to the SEC. But Silla, Lockhart, Jalen Smith, Darian Gillette, guys I got an eye on. Another guy I'm going to keep an eye on, another defensive lineman, is Jamil Burrows. You might remember the story of that young man, that he was a four-star kid coming out of high school, signed with Alabama, transferred to Miami, and basically just got out of football for a year and was thrown this offer to Mississippi State because State's in a position where they have to take some chances on some guys. When you are coming off a 2-10 season, when you are the worst defense in the SEC by a large, large margin, you got to take some chances on a couple of players here and there, and Burrows is one of them. The talent isn't the issue. It's, you know, it's what's going on up here. It's what's going on between his ears. Does he want to play football? Does he want to have a chance at a career in football? Well, this is the last shot for Jamil Burrows. So what does he provide Mississippi State? Can he be a true player for Mississippi State? I don't know the answer to that, but we're going to find out. I mentioned Jabron Manning a second ago. Very interested in him. Because I think State, when State's defenses are at their best, they've got somebody in the back there patrolling the skies who can make some picks. Remember, was it two seasons ago, State didn't have, of their interceptions, only Sean Preston was the only defensive back who had one. Everything else was linebackers. Last year, you didn't get a whole lot of interceptions either. I remember Diego Brumfield had one in the Georgia game. Elijah Cannon had one against Eastern Kentucky. I don't remember a whole ton of interceptions for Mississippi State. Manning might be a guy who can provide some coverage back there and get you some picks. With this defense, we talked about it. It's not about making the jump from bad to good. It's about making the jump from bad to better. Just being better this year will go a long, long way for Mississippi State. And forcing turnover, when you don't have elite playmakers on the defensive line and linebacker, I think State's better there. They have depth. They have some good players. I don't know if they have great players. So you need to be able to force some turnovers. So Mitchell, Manning, and Isaac Smith, those guys need to be able to pick off a pass here or there and bring it, you know, see if they can get some short fields to work with for Mississippi State. And I'll give you one more name just because I think it's interesting. But Ethan Pulliam left the baseball team this year and is now fully focused on punting. Robbie Falk, my podcast co-host who covers high school sports here in the Golden Triangle, said many times when he was in high school, he's like, that kid could go to State right now and be their starting punter. He's that good. Punting has been an issue for State over the past few years. They've just been inconsistent there. But I think this team is going to have to punt a good deal. I think they're going to be good offensively, but they will punt. Pulliam, I want to see if the stories are true about this young man and his cannon leg. So that's another one to watch. And I don't know how much punting they plan to do in the spring game. But if they do, I want to see if that young man made the right decision leaving baseball for football. People around here tell me that was he was always a better football player as a punter than he was going to be as a baseball player. I thought he was a pretty good baseball player last year for State. So we'll see if that all holds up. There's some names just to keep an eye on as we get closer and closer to the Mississippi State spring game next Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium. We'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now's the time to get a great deal on select Kubota compact tractors. Rated number one in durability and owner experience, they're designed for easy operation and feature performance-matched attachments. Right now, put zero down and get 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 on select equipment. Now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Davini Equipment Company, on Highway 51 in Madison and at the end of Spring Ridge Road in Clinton.
For all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, Glass Networks. They're going to try and steer you to use their own glass shop. Well, you can tell your insurance you want to use Venable Glass, and there'll be no additional cost to them to get the highest quality glass. Venable Glass is locally owned and operated, and they do windshield replacement and rock repair right there in their shops. Or they'll even come to you in the Tri-County area for free. That's right, free mobile service. At Venable Glass, they also do frameless and frame shower doors, mirrors cut to size and installed, picture frame glass, tables, desktop, insulated glass, plexiglass, commercial storefronts, and heavy equipment glass. Venable Glass. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They want to work hard for your business. Venable Glass. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Hey, there's two locations, too, in Ridgeland at 660 Highway 51 North and Brandon at 209 Woodgate Drive South in Crossgates. Check them out on the web at VenableGlass.com. Remember, for all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services. 601-605-4444. 43.
Hi, this is Mark Shapley of Shapley's Restaurant. There always seems to be a new survey for the best restaurants around town or statewide, and we're very fortunate to be named as one of the best on many occasions, and for that we're very grateful. But our greatest satisfaction comes when you experience our restaurant firsthand and see what makes Shapley's truly special. Shapley strives to bring the best steaks, seafood, homemade tamales, and service you'll ever find, and we believe you'll agree. Shapley's Restaurant, 957-8000.
Think for a moment about everything you own. The furniture, closets full of clothing, kids' toys, all that stuff in the garage. Moving to a new location, whether it's across town or across the country, can be stressful on you and on your belongings. That's why you call Two Men in a Truck. They can move a few items from room to room, rearrange furniture, or carefully pack everything and deliver it safely to your new location. When you need friendly, reliable moving services for home or business, call Two Men in a Truck, the movers who care. TwoMenInATruck.com.
At Watkins Construction and Roofing, we're not just about repairs and replacements. With our roof-aside services, we help keep your roof looking new and free of those unsightly stains and algae for years to come. Safe, effective, and EPA approved. Roof-aside is the simple solution for long-lasting roof protection. No harsh chemicals, no damage, just a clean, beautiful roof. Call Watkins Construction and Roofing today, 601-966-8233 or nomoreroofstains.com.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Supreme Court justices appeared closely divided when hearing a case which could make it challenging, if not impossible, to file lawsuits about congressional districts under the Voting Rights Act. There's a challenge to Louisiana's congressional map. It added a second majority black district. Just 2 years ago, the High Court voted 5-4 to affirm a ruling that found a likely violation of the Voting Rights Act in a similar case over Alabama's congressional map. That decision led to new districts in both states and sent two additional black Democrats to Congress. The suit focuses on a majority black district in Louisiana that winds from Shreveport to Baton Rouge. Unusually, the Republican-led Louisiana state government is defending the congressional maps. Civil rights groups joined in. The state's Republican-dominated legislature drew a new congressional map in 2022 to account for population shifts reflected in the 2020 census. But the changes effectively maintain the status quo of five Republican-leaning majority white districts and one Democratic-leaning majority black district. Expect a ruling by early summer. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Go beyond the headlines on Middays with Gerard Gibbert. Weekdays 10 to 1 here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino has once again steered us safely back to shore. For the most part, we got a few more minutes here. I think we'll get through it, though. We'll throw one more player in that I want to see at this spring game. And it's not necessarily that a guy I expect to have a big role in 2025. I'll put it this way. If he does have a big role, it's not good. But that's the true freshman quarterback, Kamario Taylor. Want to see what he's all about. Saw a little bit of him in high school and, you know, man among boys out there. Now that he's among men and he's among players that, you know, physically a little more his size and speed, what does he look like out there? The early reports on him out of practice are great. They're great. They're like, this guy really looks good. Now, I don't expect him to play very much this year because State has Shapen. They want to keep him healthy. And Croman Hawk is probably is going to be your backup guy. Taylor is for the future. But I want to see what he looks like. I'm interested to see, you know, does my dollar store Cam Newton comparison hold up with him? I'll be honest with you. People hear that and they're like, that's a little bit of a slight. You win a lot of games with somebody who's 50% of Cam Newton, 20% of Cam Newton. You can win a lot of games. So, also want to give a quick shout-out. Not a shout-out here. Let's talk about the Mississippi State softball team. 31-10 on the year, 7-5 in the SEC, ranked in the top 25. Had a tough series last week, and they got one from Tennessee, but that was it. Play Missouri this weekend at home. Missouri, one of the few non-ranked SEC teams in softball, so a chance for State to get some conference wins against the Tigers. They finish up the season. They go to Oklahoma, the number two team in the country, and obviously the most dominant program in the sport. They go to Kentucky. Kentucky also not ranked. And then Super Bulldog weekend's the final regular season weekend for the Bulldogs. They play Ole Miss, who's also ranked. So you've got a top 25 Super Bulldog weekend matchup with the Rebels at News Park. That should be a very interesting one. So State is trying to get into that hosting discussion. I don't know if they're there or not right now. They probably, let's see here. So they've got 12 games played with four series remaining. So they got another 12 games to play. 7-5. If they could finish with 14 wins might be enough to host. I don't know. We'll have to see. I just don't know enough about the sport of softball, to speak on it super intelligently. But at the same time, it just feels like if they finish with 14 SEC wins in this particular SEC, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma coming, the number one and number two teams in the country coming to your conference, it feels like that should be enough. So we'll see. They're really good, though. They're a fun team to watch, too. 31-10 on the year. So that's some good news. Yeah. That's why I said that earlier. Like, I feel bad when you talk about Mississippi State athletics and you're like, oh, there it is. It's just such a bad place. You have stories like this. They're playing great softball. Men's tennis is doing really well right now. Men's golf is doing really well right now. We all saw the soccer team win the SEC championship. So, and those athletes deserve their flowers. They deserve their coverage, and they deserve to have their moment in the sun. But you know, and I know, and we all know that it's football, basketball, baseball that drives the van. And when football is as bad as it was this year, it's just tough to look past that. It's even if State had a great run in March Madness, and let's say they had made it to the Sweet 16 as well, and you know, lost that game by, you know, in the back of your mind, it's still, yeah, but they were 2-10 in football. You know, football is the front forward face of every athletic department. Whatever your football team is, that's what everybody thinks of you athletically. When you say Mississippi State, they think, oh, they were bad last year. They've been bad for a couple of years now since Mike Leach passed away. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with them. And it's just a tough stigma to overcome. So this is a really key season for Jeff Lebby. Just needs to be a lot better. In terms of the record, it needs to be. Will it be? I don't know. I'm not willing to make that prediction just yet. But, you know, how much better do you as a Mississippi State fan feel if after week one they go down to Southern Mississippi and they just win the game easily and it's never in doubt and they only give up like 14 points and they only give up like 325 yards to the Golden Eagles and they put 40 plays and the final score is like 41-14, something like that, you know? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying, how much better as a Mississippi State fan do you feel if you're just like, okay, that looked right? Because think about State last year. Outside of their game against the FCS opponent, they struggled for the first half against UMass. It wasn't, you know, it got away late, but how much better do you feel if you just go down there and you just dominate the game from start to finish? If that happens, I think as a Mississippi State fan, you should feel pretty good. Will that happen? I don't know the answer. One last thing here. We got a soccer text here, Rhino. Somebody told me to up the irons. We got a West Ham fan listening in. What are the odds? I think we have Chelsea Fulham next weekend. The Thunder and Lightning Derby, as it's called. I don't know if the people in England know it's called that, Rhino, but it is called that, right?
Right.
So you already got one on me this year.
The Cottagers.
I love a bit of Craven Cottage. A little bit of Fulham. Not as much Premier League talk probably the rest of the way. Tomorrow I'll be in Columbus, Mississippi, Sports Talk Mississippi, live at the Columbus Visitors and Convention Bureau. I'll get through it eventually. We're catfish in the alley. There better be catfish. Somebody let me know before I eat lunch. Talk to you guys next week. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.